It's Marketplace Tech for July 2nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. While politicians and financial institutions fight over the future of Greece's massive debt and potential bailout, there's been increased interest in Bitcoin. Exchanges for the cryptocurrency are saying some Greeks are managing to buy Bitcoins through online banking, even though most financial institutions have been closed, also through using paper cash or PayPal. In a financial crisis like this, a digital way to stuff money under the mattress can be attractive. The value of Bitcoin has also risen over the last week. Author Nathaniel Popper, who wrote the Bitcoin book Digital Gold, joins me to talk about this. Nathaniel, thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
This week, Bitcoin trading marketplaces are reporting higher numbers of trades from Greece. Are we seeing an opportunity for the cryptocurrency connected to what's happening there?
I think there is broadly an opportunity. I think something like what's going on in Greece makes people realize that the euro, the dollar are based on these institutions and these policies. And I think that is indeed driving thinking about a lot of things, among them Bitcoin, and is making people think, okay, maybe an alternative currency is a reasonable thing to consider.
But it's not an explosion is happening there as far as like Bitcoin interest.
I don't think that Greek people are pouring their wealth into Bitcoin. In order to buy a Bitcoin, you frequently need to move money from your bank account to the bank account of a Bitcoin company. And in the case of Greece, the whole problem is that you can't move money out of your bank account.
There is a Bitcoin ATM in Greece.
I think there is one. The first one may have been set up there recently. I mean, look, to the degree that there may be some interest in Europe, it's probably coming perhaps from other countries that may be, you know, where there may be some citizens worrying about this spreading there. And what's been attractive about Bitcoin is this notion that it's based on math and cryptography, and it has a sort of purity that the euro now, with all of these sniping politicians, lacks.
What about Argentina as another example where there's not a lot of trust in banks? Has Bitcoin taken hold there?
Well, yeah. In the course of reporting my book, Argentina was really the most interesting place to look at because people there already operate in a very cash-based economy. And so maybe moving money into a digital alternative where you have a cryptographic key and it can't get stolen by the first person who lifts up your mattress is an attractive alternative. And so you are starting to see some real experimentation going on in Argentina. But this is still a very young technology, and it's not ready for, you know, the country of Greece to pile onto it at this point.
Nathaniel Popper is the author of Digital Gold, Bitcoin, and the Inside Story of the Misfits and Millionaires Trying to Reinvent Money. Nathaniel, thank you very much.
Thank you again.
Here's a nightmare scenario for both users and engineers who design the new Google Photo image recognition algorithms. A software developer who is black discovered that the service had categorized pictures of him and his girlfriend as photos of gorillas. The company has now apologized and said it is now working on both linguistic fixes and image recognition tweaks to the software. I should hope so. It's time for us to go back to Back to the Future, Part 2. Our series is about all the technology predicted in the 1989 movie about time travel, which took place in a future year of 2015. And now we're here in real life, so we're checking the predictions. Well, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in the movie, and hey, they're doing pretty well right now. Other than the Cubs winning, though, one of the most popular ideas the movie offered up to viewers was the hoverboard skateboard. Oh, how I have pined after this piece of technology. So is Matt Novak, writer of the Paleo Future blog and our partner in this series. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good, except I'm going to say I'm on the side of we don't have it yet.
I'm right there with you, and I'm just as sad, I think.
I feel like we should, with the examples that we have here, we should hold them up against the movie. The rules are essentially that it functions as a skateboard, but unless you have one with like blasters on it, it doesn't go over water.
Precisely. And a lot of the experimental hoverboards, they're not quite what Michael J. Fox was using in that film.
Little girl, stop. Look, I need to borrow your
hoverboard.
Where is he?
Let's go over a couple of the ones we've seen. Now, the Hendo hover does appear to hover quite impressively, but it's really hard to control, right?
Yeah, precisely. It doesn't really have any control. Once you get on it, you're sort of at the whims of whatever you can manipulate. If you watch the video of the thing, it's squealing. It's absolutely loud. It lasts for just a couple minutes, and it has to work on special surfaces. So all those things don't really give us the Back to the Future 2 vision of the future that we were envisioning.
What about the Lexus one? I saw this video in which it shows this beautiful looking hoverboard hovering, and it shows a guy skating up to it. And then right before his foot, he gets off the skateboard and then he's about to get on the hoverboard. And then the video ends.
Now, the Lexus one, it'll be interesting to see how they achieve this supposed levitation, because, much like the Hendo, they could have some version of that electromagnetic technology that will allow it to hover. And the way that they're teasing this out, it's probably not the hoverboard we've been waiting for.
Other than Back to the Future 2, have hoverboards been a part of our historical imaginations of the future?
I haven't been able to come across a hoverboard. It's such a product of, Back to the Future 2 came out in 1989. The original came out in 85. And it was a time when skateboarding became, really popular in mainstream American culture. So it made sense that this was sort of the next thing that you'd tease kids with. We'd seen so many representations of the flying car, of the jetpack, of meal pills and stuff. And the hoverboard felt like this really special thing that was special for a new generation. And I think that's the frustration there, that we haven't gotten it yet.
I think that I'm going to say I'm not going to believe until you can actually do a kickflip on a hoverboard.
I don't see that on the immediate horizon, but you never know. Sometimes you have to sort of accept the future that's given to you rather than the one you want.
Matt Novak writes the Paleo Future blog at Gizmodo, and he's our guide to this series. Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
Remember, you can always write us about our series at DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.